You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Ron Bronson.
And I'm Joe Crawford. This is the Daily Local News for Thursday, July 6th, 2017.
I'm going to get me a part-time job. I'm going to just keep going forward. You got to be positive, and you got to look at it as an adventure. Every day is an adventure. You don't know what's going to happen. Something good can always happen.
A local resident talks about how she came to live on the streets and where she finds hope on this week's episode of Big Talk with Michael Glab. That's coming up later in the show.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street, asks how Bloomington residents celebrated Independence Day. But first, these local headlines.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton stated that increased law enforcement presence at People's Park and in the downtown area had been effective during a press conference this afternoon. Hamilton, flanked by Police Chief Michael Dekoff and Community and Family Resources Director Beverly Callender Anderson, told a crowd gathered in the Monroe County Public Library's auditorium that the city plans to crack down on so-called bad behavior in the downtown.
We installed several cameras in public places to help monitor and deter illegal activity. We increased programming in downtown parks to increase overall presence in and utilization of the parks. We launched an effort to encourage less giving directly on the streets to panhandlers and more to social service providers that are so active in our community. We increased downtown police patrols and monitored compliance with state and local laws governing panhandling.
Thursday's announcement comes just after 15 overdoses, including one fatal overdose, were reported in the downtown last Friday alone. Several more overdoses were reported over the weekend. Dekoff stated that those overdoses were attributed to a synthetic marijuana drug called Spice. A man downtown was arrested by Bloomington police and charged in connection to those overdoses.
So with regards to the recent arrests we made in some of the dealing of the Spice cases, there was no substance in it that was illegal when it was tested. That does provide a little bit of a challenge when it goes to charging people, but there are laws that deal with dealing in lookalike substances that we utilize to charge people with those. The Spice has been the majority of the overdoses that we have had. Because of the makeup and how you can order Spice off the internet. And so it makes it difficult to investigate those cases and make arrests, but we have our investigators working on Spice cases every day and making buys so that we can go after the dealers to stem the supply of Spice.
Dekoff echoed Hamilton, saying that officers were managing to implement increased enforcement by working overtime and by contracting additional positions with Indiana University's police department. Dekoff said that many of the people engaging in bad behavior in Bloomington's downtown were not Monroe County residents or they'd moved here recently.
Our social services, the police department, all the people involved in trying to address this problem are being overwhelmed because there are a lot of people out there that are coming here. So it is a concern, and when we can identify either an agency or a shelter that might be sending people here, I certainly have had conversations with those people to ask them to stop doing that.
Hamilton stated that the increased enforcement in Bloomington's downtown comes after recommendations made by the city's Safety, Civility, and Justice Task Force. While praising Bloomington as a compassionate community, Hamilton stated that the city will continue enforcing the law in downtown area.
Let me be clear about something. We will not abide people who peddle illegal drugs in our community, creating and feeding addictions that are so destructive to individual lives, to families, and to our community. We will enforce laws and pursue those who are bringing these poisons often literally poisons, who are preying on vulnerable people, including youth, who are acting violently in our community. Let me be clear that these behaviors have no place in our community, and we will steadfastly and energetically protect our community against them.
Hamilton said that the Safety, Civility, and Justice Task Force was working on installing portable toilets in parks downtown, although he said the specifics of that deal are still being explored.
The demand for social workers has increased as a result of the opioid epidemic. That's according to information released by IUPUI. Rich Snyder of IU Communications points out that Indiana has been battling drug overdoses for years.
Indiana has been fighting the epidemic for, 3 to 4 years. It's widespread. In Marion County, there were about 350 deaths last year from drug overdoses. And so there are a number of efforts underway to combat it, and the epidemic itself spurs the need for various kinds of social services as a result.
In a press release, School of Social Work Dean Michael Patchner said there's always been high demand for social workers. Now there's a shortage of people to work in areas related to mental health and addictions, child welfare, and medical social work.
People who are taking opioids oftentimes are unable to take care of their children. As a result, social workers are needed to help. That's just an example.
Patchner also said there aren't enough treatment facilities in Indiana, and there's been an increased need for social workers to provide outpatient treatment. IUPUI reports their enrollment in social work classes is on the rise.
Eli Lilly is working with Pfizer to create an alternative painkiller known as Tanezumab that could be the first new non-opioid pain medication discovery in nearly 50 years. The company's released an announcement about their collaboration. The study began in 2013. It's already in the late trial stages. The FDA has granted the project fast-track designation. Trial data is scheduled to be released sometime next year.
Residents of Monroe and Owen County filed more than 2,400 federal tax returns through the Free Community Tax Service. That's according to an announcement by the United Way of Monroe County, which helped facilitate the program. The Financial Stability Alliance of South Central Indiana also works on the program. The residents reportedly saved an estimate of $705,000 and received more than $1.7 million in refunds and tax credits.
President Donald Trump's promise to save local jobs at Carrier Corporation has just become the subject of a lawsuit. The director of the Citizens Action Coalition, Kerwin Olson, filed an information request in December regarding communication between the Trump administration and former Governor Mike Pence's office. Olson was seeking documents related to Carrier Corporation's decision to keep its factory in Indiana instead of moving it to Mexico. 6 months later, there's been no word from state officials on how they managed to persuade the furnace and air conditioner manufacturer. Last week, the Citizens Action Coalition filed a lawsuit against the office of the current governor, Eric Holcomb. The organization accuses Holcomb's office of failing to release public information and making excuses to delay.
Last week, the Bloomington Board of Public Works approved a $29,000 engineering service agreement for electrical improvements at the 4th Street Garage. Public Works Director Adam Wason said when the city put out bids for electrical work, all came in over $100,000. The board and the city's Public Works Department have discussed the possibility of a structural review of the 4th Street Garage this year. The garage is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Board member Dana Palazzo asked Wason whether a structural review is still a possibility.
Basically, at this point, with the life of the 4th Street Garage, we're investing about $100,000 to $150,000 in structural improvements each year to prolong the life of the garage. Our current anticipation is that if we continue to do that, we should be able to get at least 10 to 15 years of service out of the garage. Overall, as far as a structural engineer evaluating, that hasn't been necessary to this point. It's something that we're going to be looking into more with the 2018 budget. But, at this time, no, we don't have that for the 2017 budget. All the information we have at hand suggests that we've got a good 10 years, as long as we keep doing the traditional structural maintenance that we need to be doing.
Palazzo favored conducting a structural review first before continuing to spend money on repairs.
I mean, this is something safety-wise we need to do, but instead of continuing to spend money on updates and repairs, to have a structural review first.
And we do have information on that. That's why we do have our spending plan for it's, you know, it's okay. Not, we don't have a structural engineer's recent assessment, but over the last 5 years, there is information. We did get information on what we needed to do to continue to prolong the life of the garage.
Board President Kyla Cox-Deckard agreed with Palazzo, saying she'd like to see a structural review of the garage conducted early in 2018. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Ron Bronson.
And I'm Joe Crawford. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
We call them homeless, as if they're all alike and their entire lives can be reduced to a single descriptive word. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, up to 500,000 people in America may not know precisely where they're going to sleep tonight or where their next meal will come from. A woman named Peggy is one such person. She has slept in parks and on the streets. She has eaten at free kitchens. She has a story, and she has pride as well as dreams and goals. She joins Michael Glab on this week's edition of Big Talk.
And I'm with Peggy. Are you homeless?
I am homeless. I've been homeless for a year and probably going about 8 months now.
Do you consider that term an insult?
I don't. I mean, the way people look at me, when I first got out on the street, it bothered me.
How did they look at you?
You know, like, you know, I'm 51 years old. I don't feel 51. I don't think I look too bad for 51. But people go by and they're like, get a job, you know. Why aren't you working? Why are we paying for you?
People say that.
They do say that. They do say that.
Wow.
I've had Gatorade bottles thrown at me, eggs at night on the street thrown at us out by the library.
Yeah.
College kids, they think it's funny. I go around in the games. I've told them who I was and what I did. I didn't ask for money. But if you would please save your cans in a bag, and they'll bag up all the cans, and after the party or whatever, I go around to the different houses, pick up the cans, squash them, and turn them in for money.
Oh.
And there's about four houses that the guys are really nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes they let me clean up the yard, and they give me $5. I don't ask.
Yeah.
I ask for no money. I've never signed. I mean, I know people need it. There are a lot of people that do sign. They need, you know, personal stuff. They need a...
Sign.
They take a sign and ask for money.
Oh, I get you. Okay, sure.
For, like, deodorants or get their hair cut or... Uh-huh. And that's basically what they use it for. We have people out here that's got animals. I had a little baby Yorkie. But my ex-husband won't let me have her back. But I have seizures.
Yeah.
So I have to get me another medical dog, and Centerstone is trying to help me get my certificate so I can get another dog.
Now, why don't you have a home?
Well, because my ex, the gentleman that I was with, wouldn't pay the taxes. Had a $40,000 property and was doing drugs and thought the drugs was more important and wouldn't let me pay the $1,100 taxes, and we got kicked out. And he went to a friend's house for a year, and I stayed out on the streets. I went to his friend's house. It used to be Martha's house.
Yeah.
I stayed there two or three times. Got an apartment. That's when my ex moved. But then my boyfriend moved in with me.
Yeah.
And after about a month, tried to slice my throat. So we got a restraining order, and they took me off the lease. And I've been on the street. So basically, I was off the street for 1 month. I'm on disability.
Yeah.
But some of the bills that I have are expensive, and I tried to get a vehicle. That was a mess. But anyway, my card's been stolen twice.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Shalom Center here, they helped me get my birth certificate, my Social Security card. We're getting an ID tomorrow. I'm getting a new, hopefully, money card next week. So anything you want, I mean, they give you here. So.
Where were you born?
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
But I went to South Pitt High School.
To which?
South Putnam, in Putnam
South
County.
South Putnam, in Putnam County,
yeah.
High school.
Yeah. I didn't go to college, but I've had three businesses of my own. Candle making, restoring cars, and restoring houses. And then, you know, you get in with these real sweet talking men that, and you work two jobs and they don't work at all. And so I haven't been very lucky. I mean, I've met some really nice guys, but in the end, it's like they're all stuck on drugs. One was stuck on crack cocaine in Florida. I lost my business, my house down there. This one's stuck on meth. I lost my apartment, all my stuff here. I do volunteer here. I volunteer at Pier Run.
Yeah.
I try to keep busy.
At what?
Pier Run. It's a recovery center by the hospital.
Pier Run.
Uh-huh. And I do the clothing here.
Yeah.
And try to make sure everybody's got clothing and shoes and the kids got whatever they need, and I help out wherever I can.
Did you ever dream that or have any kind of fear that you might be in the position you are now?
Oh, no. I've always worked at least two jobs. Always. Yeah. Always. Waitress jobs, you know.
Yeah.
I could run a whole entire floor. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have to tell me to clean my tables, clean my chairs. Well, like everybody else does, I just go in. I'm not OCD, but I do like cleanliness.
Yeah.
So I've done everything. So I don't know. No, I didn't. When I got on disability, I cried for about a year because I couldn't work and I was stuck out in the, I wasn't around any people. Yeah. And I couldn't handle it. Yeah. Because I'm used to being around people.
Thank you.
And I'm trying to find a part-time job here, but it's just one thing after another. And now with everything going on with the street and the overdoses and the cops want us to go to the 9th Street Park so that we're out of the way and unseen. And I mean, I won't say that everybody doesn't use drugs, but there's a lot of people out here, you know, that we watch over each other, we watch out for each other, we take care of each other. Don't go to sleep because they'll steal from you. And that's no lie. That is no lie. Most of them will. But the point is everybody watches out for each other. But there's people out here that's been beat. There's people that's been out here that's got a physical condition that can't work, and that's why they're out here.
Sure.
Or they have, like me, a small disability check, and it doesn't pay the rent, and it doesn't even pay the rent or the electric.
Do you have dreams about the future? Do you have hopes?
Oh, I'm going to get back on my feet.
How are you going to do that?
Little by little. I got back on my feet the last time when they got me in a house, in an apartment. You work your way up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get me a part-time job. I'm going to just keep going forward. You got to be positive, and you got to look at it as an adventure. Every day is an adventure. You don't know what's going to happen, but something good can always happen.
Do you ever feel not positive?
I do. I have. Probably this last weekend was probably my worst.
Why?
I don't know. With all the people downtown on 4th of July, for some reason, I felt all alone. In a little bubble.
Do you have friends?
On the street.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actually acquaintances.
Yeah.
You can't really say friends. I mean, I love everybody that I've met out there, but I take everybody for what they say, but I don't trust no one. You can't. It's different. It's really different being out on the street. You know, people come out here and they start brand new people and they start trusting people and they give money. Oh, here. Oh, you're going to get a soda here. Let me give you $20 and give you a soda. You don't do that because that $20 ain't coming back. Nice as them people are, you just know who you can and who you can't. You learn about everybody. And like I said, I help everybody out here, but I don't trust anybody. I trust myself and that's it. But I will say this. I got a wide opening when I come out on the street because I would see people, young people, out there, and I'm thinking, no matter what their problem is, why don't they have a job? They could do some kind of job. I mean, come on. Who can't have a job? And then I got out of here, and I got to know these people. You start hearing everybody's story, you know, and some of them's mentally. They don't look mentally, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're not going to go off on you, but they got mental problems. And
Just enough to keep them out of a regular job.
Yeah, they can't have a regular job.
Yeah.
They literally can't have a regular job. And you got people that will take four or five of us here and do like a cast job. And there's a couple of people that never paid us.
You get screwed over.
And it's just, you just can't trust anybody.
Peggy.
Yes.
Well, I really thank you for talking with me like this.
Oh, no problem at all.
You can hear that episode and all episodes of Big Talk with Michael Glab on our website, WFHB.org.
Support for WFHB comes from Monster Digital Marketing, offering digital marketing solutions for small businesses. Monster Digital Marketing websites are built for search engine optimization with both the desktop and mobile device user in mind. Located at monsterdigitalmarketing.com or on the phone at 317-567-1197. Support also comes from MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com. Up next is our weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street. Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents.
This week on Voices in the Street, how did you spend Independence Day? Tuesday's 4th of July holiday boasted splendid weather and the opportunity to watch Bloomington's annual downtown parade. Voices in the Street has asked how you spent Independence Day and if you attended the parade, what you liked most about it.
It was good. We came to the parade and went back home, stayed at home the rest of the day.
What was the best part about the parade?
The popsicles for the kids. Because it's so darn hot out. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant idea.
Our neighbors and I got together and set off some fireworks in the parking lot. We live in a condominium community, so we invited the kids out and then we had a cookout. It was a great fourth. We had great weather.
We went to the parade here in Bloomington.
What was the best part of the parade?
Just the seeing the families together and enjoying the parade, seeing local businesses in the parade, some of which we've never heard of, so we kind of got to see what was all around Bloomington.
We actually sat by the fire pit at our house and enjoyed a cocktail and watched the fireworks from our house.
I marched in the Bloomington 4th of July parade with the MCCSC parade band on snare. It was pretty hot. I was covered in sweat afterwards, but it was fun. It's always worth it.
We watched Japanese anime and pretty much didn't think about the U.S.
Do fireworks.
Yeah, and watch fireworks, right?
Mm-hmm.
At a friend's
We're
house?
Mm-hmm.
Who was your friends?
Brooke and Kate.
Brooke and Kate, that's right.
I blew off about $150 for the fireworks. All last night. We had 7 different mortar tubes and we nailed them all down to a skid and then we bought a 4-foot cannon fuse, linked them all together and just blasted them off. I think it was a 3-minute fuse, but anyway, it took 3 minutes to get all 7 mortars off, so it wasn't real fast, but it was fun.
Worked in our yard.
Yep, and sweated a lot.
That was it.
We were in Indianapolis. We family cookout.
Well, nothing really. I stayed home. Cooked a lot. Ribs, chicken, pork and beans, macaroni. My son was trying to look at the fireworks, but trees are too tall where I live at.
I was actually in the parade. I marched with the Reverse Citizens United group. We led Octi, the corporate citizen sculpture, and I was part of the our PowerPoint presentation that led Octi, and I carried a sign that said, "Dark money is creeping into your life."
I also marched in the parade, and I marched with the Unitarian Universalist Church.
Nice.
And we marched and had fun and sang songs, and it was great.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana. You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, Robert Goldkamp, and Arjun Balasundaram. along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Voices in the Street was produced by Barbara Von Provosky. Our engineer today is Chris Martin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, this is Ron Bronson.
And I'm Joe Crawford. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered independent daily news program.
If you go to iTunes, you can have this show delivered to you directly. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Blooming Out, Indiana's only LGBTQI public affairs show, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.